Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello and welcome to show 155 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural. My name is Laurent Borgmann and today we are going to hear about corporate culture and in particular CSR, which is short for Corporate Social Responsibility. I've just come back from an intercultural Erasmus intensive seminar for students and lecturers from 12 different universities all over Europe, organized in Izmir at Yasha University in Turkey. We all shared our knowledge and experience concerning the situation in different countries and learned a lot about CSR and its challenges and benefits in the European context. Now, in general, you could say that CSR is meant to improve the relationship between a company and its stakeholders. CSR will also change the company culture by improving the relationship with employees, suppliers, customers, the environment, and the local community. In our first category, Absolutely Timely, I organized a roundtable with lecturers from all over Europe. Together, we discussed whether it is the right time for companies in Europe to start with CSR. Anne Knappen from the Catholic University in Leuven, Belgium, tells us that despite or perhaps because of the financial crisis, this is the time where companies need to think seriously about CSR.
I'd say that time is getting ripe for it. I mean, we had financial crisis, big crisis in Europe in 2008. We had it again in the midst of 2011. And the awareness is growing. People are thinking that if they are not changing now, what is going to happen?
Then, in our second category, absolutely win-win, Laura Brandt from the Haute École de la Province de Liège in Belgium, is giving us an overview of CSR in SMEs, that means in small and medium-sized companies. She gives the example of an industrial cleaning company which invested in CSR. Their activities are good for the environment, but also for the employees and for the company.
Try to use machines that allow them to reduce the use of chemicals, first of all.
Right.
Next to this, they also arranged flexible hours for women with children, suggestion boxes for the staff, or people from the staff can also choose to become shareholders in the company after 3 years of working in the company. And of course, when you are a shareholder.
Finally, in our last category, absolutely communicative, Agnes, an intern and supporter of Absolutely Intercultural, finds out about an organization which might also gain special relevance in times of financial crisis. Her interview partner, Adelheid Korb, tells us about Servas, a non-profit organization which helps travelers all over the world to find free accommodation during their travels. The main advantage, however, does not seem to be to save money, but to enter into meaningful conversation with your hosts in the country you travel to.
Behind it is that this gives hosts and travelers enough time to communicate, to find out about each other's countries, so we can have in-depth conversations about where you come from, what it's like in your city. You can discuss the city that you happen to be in with your hosts and find out all the things that are normal.
But now let us start with our show. After the European crises in 2008 and 2011, companies in the European Union are of course facing rough times. Therefore, it is very important for them to strengthen their market position and to stand out from their competitors. By launching corporate social responsibility programs, companies can improve their image and gain more visibility and customers. In our first category, Absolutely Timely, I organized a round table with lecturers from all over Europe who all participated in the Erasmus intensive program in Izmir. Together with Anne Knappen from the Catholic University in Leuven, Belgium, Carla de Lima from the Polytechnic Institute of Braganza in Portugal, Dr. Reka Jablonkai from Corvinus University Budapest in Hungary, and Anne Burke from the Letterkenny Institute of Technology in Ireland, we discussed different examples of CSR in those countries. However, I first asked them whether the middle of an economic crisis is really the right time to spend money on CSR projects.
I think that we might say that time is getting ripe for it. I mean, we had financial crisis, big crisis in Europe in 2008. We had it again in the midst of 2011. And the awareness is growing. People are thinking that if they are not changing now, what is going to happen? So it might be that the climate is ripe for it on this moment, on this very moment, and that also consumers and also the ones who are producing the goods are thinking, well, slowly, perhaps time has come to start with it.
Yes, a lot of shareholders now look for companies that are practicing CSR as part of their decision-making process in deciding whether or not to invest in a company. So if a company is not investing in CSR, shareholders won't invest in it. Yeah. Also in the annual report, companies are under pressure to complete these accounts showing how what they're doing for the environment, what they're doing socially. So again, from a cynical point of view, a lot of it can be just filling out those pages.
And there the financially issue is very important and is more important since 2008, 2011.
But I also think that's a reflection from society, because companies and corporations, they live through marketing and through selling products. And if everybody gets, if you measure the pulse of the society, now everybody's concerned about poverty, about misery, about crisis. So they are doing the same so that we can feel that they are fellows, so they are in the same boat and they are working together.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
In Portugal, you see a lot of commercials and a lot of announcements that at the first sight, you see CSR there. But if you really look, it is like calling for a nationality bonding. Like, we are all together. Come to us. We are helping you. You are doing the same.
And I think probably the first ideas related to CSR were more interested in environmental issues.
Mm. Ecological.
Ecological fields, yes. And I think this is what greenwashing is about, that you kind of use the labels telling that this is eco-friendly product or not tested on animals or no artificial ingredients. The Body Shop would be a great example here, where you actually have campaigns and values of the company that are actually related to social and environmental issues at the same time.
I think the Body Shop is a great example of companies who have used CSR as a successful strategy to increase their visibility. Personally, when I hear the brand name, I actually think nature and no cruelty to animals before I even think of cosmetics. However, we should keep an eye on the image of this company, because they've been taken over by the multinational L'Oréal company, and this might, of course, change their image in the future. I also agree with Anne that the current European crisis might in fact be the best opportunity to start with CSR to improve the image of an enterprise. The increased awareness of social injustice and environmental pollution may be the reason why companies who want to be successful start their campaigns right now. In our second category, absolutely win-win, I would like to dive into the topic a little deeper. I'm talking to Laura Brandt from the Haute École de la Province de Liège in Belgium. She's a lecturer for entrepreneurship and a bit of an expert on SMEs, which means small and medium-sized enterprises. She tells us that, in fact, 99% of all European companies are SMEs. These companies are facing economic challenges right now in the crisis. Laura explains why it is important for SMEs to integrate corporate social responsibility in the core business values. I asked her to tell us how she found out about the subject before joining the intensive seminar in Turkey. So Laura gives an interesting example of a cleaning company in which CSR really turned into a win-win situation for the company and all its stakeholders.
Hundreds of pages, everything I could find on the internet. I found a lot of useful documents from the European Commission, free documents available to everyone. I first read on the topic as a whole, CSR in general, and then I tried to focus on the main parts of my lecture, so CSR for SMEs and the social enterprise. SMEs can face a lot of obstacles they should do a lot of CSR because, as I explained in my lecture, SMEs represent 99% of all European companies, so it's a huge amount, and it's really necessary that they are involved in the process. But they face a lot of obstacles, lack of time, lack of funds, lack of personnel, lack of awareness simply of what is CSR and how they can implement CSR projects. Of course, not all SMEs will want to get involved in this, but motivations, drivers to get involved in this. A question of being competitive, being innovative, and also taking care of your reputation. Well, let's be honest, it's also about marketing a little bit. I have an example of a company, totally an industrial company. It was in the cleaning sector, I think, industrial cleaning. They tried to use machines that allow them to reduce the use of chemicals, first of all.
Right.
Next to this, they also arranged flexible hours for women with children, suggestion boxes for the staff, or people from the staff can also choose to become shareholders in the company after 3 years of working in the company. And of course, when you are a shareholder, you are really committed in the functioning of the company. You can find that in a lot of different companies. So you have things that are directly linked to the core business, but also in the management of the company, in the daily operations. You can make choices. In this case, it would be more social choices to make sure that you fit into CSR. It is easier for SMEs, of course, to maybe just donate some money because it involves less time and energy. But personally, I think that if you really want to do CSR, it's not enough to just make a donation. You have really to get involved in this and involve your employees, your staff in the whole process and make people aware of what it is. It's true that on the short terms, it will be hard to get benefits if you want to get benefits from CSR. It's also important to have a competitive edge, and we know that the world of SMEs is full of competition. And it's really a daily challenge. And if you try to get involved in this, it may bring you advantages over your competitors. That's also a direct benefit from CSR.
I totally agree with Laura. Of course, it must be the responsibility of all of us, and especially of successful companies, to protect society and the environment. And as Laura told us, doing good things will also be very beneficial for your company if you decide to implement CSR in your core values. This will create a competitive edge, motivate your staff members, and improve your image in society. The diversity of CSR measures is unlimited. So every company can implement CSR strategies and do something good for the environment or for society. Our last guest for today is Adelheid Korb. Adelheid and her husband love traveling. About 10 years ago, when they decided to travel around the world, she got in touch with an organization called Servas. Servas provides travelers with accommodation all over the world, but you only get invited to stay at a host's place if you obey certain rules of the system. So Adelheid will explain how she got in touch with Servas and how the system works.
10 years ago, when my husband and I set out for a longer trip to Canada, USA, Chile, New Zealand, Australia and South Africa, we were saying goodbye to our friends when one of our friends mentioned this organization called Servas and said, why don't you get in touch with them? Because it's a good way of getting to know people. So we did get in touch. We found out that this was an organization that puts travelers and hosts in touch with each other, so that when you go to a particular city, you have contact to somebody who actually lives in the city, so you can get to know life as it is in this city. You don't stay in a hotel.
But how do you get in touch with this organization at the first time?
Nowadays, you can contact your local coordinator via the internet. When we set out traveling, we were referred to somebody near where we were living, and we were invited for an interview. We had to talk about our reasons for traveling, what our approach was to foreign countries, what we were expecting from our travels, and it was quite an in-depth interview conducted by somebody who'd been, I think, everywhere. So being so new in traveling, and being new to the organization, we were quite impressed by our interviewer. Mm. So then we were given a letter of introduction where we had to talk a bit about ourselves. And this is what you present to your host. And you find out your host through a guest list that you are being given by the organization. So you contact the host in the city that you're staying in and say, I'm a traveller and I would like to meet you. And they then say, oh, that's fine. Or they say, I'm sorry, I'm so busy, really not possible, etc. And the rule is that as a traveller, you're being given this list of addresses. You contact the host and they say whether it's possible or not. And you stay there for 2 nights.
Mm-hmm.
You stay in their home for 2 nights, not for longer and not for less. And the reason behind it is that this gives hosts and travellers enough time to communicate, to find out about each other's countries, so we can have in-depth conversations about where you come from, what it's like in your city. You can discuss the city that you happen to be in with your hosts and find out all the things that, as a normal tourist, you don't know about.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, that sounds really exciting. This may, in fact, be the best way to get in touch with locals while traveling through different countries. In my opinion, Servas is also an excellent example of a non-profit organization which could be supported by companies. So, if you are a CEO and you are looking for a good CSR course, please do get in touch with them. Now, that's it for today. We learned a lot about corporate social responsibility and its benefits. We organized a roundtable so that we could get different impressions about CSR and about the opportunities for European companies to get a competitive edge. Then we listened to Laura, who focused on small and medium-sized enterprises in Europe, and she told us why SMEs should implement CSR in order to achieve their long-term goals. Finally, Adelheid gave us an excellent example of a non-profit organization which could be supported by companies within their CSR activities. I have realized that CSR is a fascinating subject, and you should hear more about this on our podcast in the future. Now, our next show will be coming to you on the 6th of July. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Vollständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.